Hey, greetings, this is Brother Jim, don'tperish.com, John 4:24 radio. Hey, coming to you today with another teaching audio. Today I want to talk to you about something really important. All of God's Word's important. Four types of righteousness that we see in Scripture. The four types of righteousness. Maybe you know about these. We're going to focus on the last one because most people get that one very wrong. Basically, let's look at righteousness. It means to be right before God. It means to be keeping, walking in, obeying His statutes, His ordinances, His commands, and how you're living daily, thinking, acting. These are the mark of a righteous person. To not be righteous means to be unrighteous, means you live in sin before God and His commandments, thus making you a sinner. You need to repent and turn to righteousness. Makes common sense, doesn't it? Let's look at the four types of righteousness in Scripture, and this is going to help you understand where you are today and how you gain salvation via the gospel. Faith in Jesus Christ and His shed blood, repentance, turning from all sin and unrighteousness, be born again by the Spirit of God, enter a covenant with God. The fruit you're born again is holiness and obedience, righteousness, and then endure in the faith. Remember that gospel as we go through these. So we're going to start with the first one. Righteousness from faith, like Noah and Abraham. Genesis 15:6. And this is about Noah, he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. So this is an early echo of the gospel. We come to salvation by faith. Noah believed in God. Of course, he acted too and built an ark, didn't he? If he didn't act on his faith, he would have drowned with everyone else. We'll get to obedience. So Noah believed, so did Abraham, as a form of righteousness. Let's move on to righteousness from the Old Testament Torah law. Deuteronomy 6:25. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as He hath commanded us. So see there, they were looking to make themselves right before God by keeping these Torah laws, some 613 different laws given to Israel, not given to anyone else. Now, they couldn't keep it perfectly. God instituted a sacrificial system with animals and the shedding of blood, and we've got articles on all of that. So that's the second type of righteousness, keeping Torah law, okay, that was given to Israel. Now, this next one, most everybody knows about and that are Christians or believe in God, and they cling to this, and as well they should, and this is righteousness from Christ's perfect, finished work. Yeah, really important. We need this. Romans 5:18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Yeah, Adam fell, and then Jesus comes and lives the perfect life, fulfills Torah law, and rescues us, right? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin, talking about Jesus, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There is our ticket, our path, our only hope to salvation. Fact, I do not teach works-based salvation. It doesn't work. We can't get to heaven without what I just read to you, Jesus' perfect righteousness that washes us, covers us. But there's another righteousness that appears in the Bible that few people ever teach about. And I want to get to that. The perfect righteousness of Christ we need, covering us, washing us, cleansing us. The next form of righteousness, the fourth form, is righteousness from us via the fruit of the Spirit and our saving faith in Christ. So it's righteousness in us, living our life righteous, and it's all because of the fruit of our saving faith via the Spirit, the Word, our saving faith in Christ coming through us. And let me give you a bunch of scripture verses on that. I want to spend some time here, as most people deny that you need to seek after any righteousness. This is a common evangelical lie. They say, Jesus did it all. You can't do anything. You can't be righteous. And they say this, your righteousness is all like filthy rags. So these religious Sunday church-going people, or even people that just believe, they don't seek what's right. They don't seek to obey God in all things. They don't seek righteousness because they think Jesus did it all and they can live unrighteous and enter into the kingdom of God. That is a twisted lie and heresy. The next time someone tells you that you can't please God by obeying him with righteousness, go tell them to read Luke 1 verse 6, talking about John the Baptist's parents. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. Yeah, go read Luke 1 6. So, this is a lie about filthy rags. This comes from the book of Isaiah. I have an article on this on my teaching blog, don'tperish.com. Go to the teaching blog, look up filthy rags. Isaiah was warning Israel, they were trying to please God, and they were keeping idols and doing idolatry at the same time. And Isaiah said to them, all your righteousness is as filthy rags, because they were in hypocrisy and sin. It does not mean you cannot do righteous works before God. And I'm going to show you that, all right? So look up that filthy rags article. We refute that. You can be righteous, but you can't be righteous enough for salvation. And fruit of salvation is righteousness. Let's get to this, okay? So what does the Holy Word say about how we're to live when we have a saving faith via the gospel I just preached to you, and we have the perfect righteousness of Christ covering us for salvation? That's how we get there. We don't work our way there. Well, I'm currently doing a study through Matthew, and it's clear. If you go and read Matthew, the early part especially, Jesus tells us this, Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So we see here, it's not enough just to believe in Jesus' perfect righteousness. We're to hunger and thirst for it. Hey, that's a work of the Spirit in us, isn't it? Yeah, if we're children of God, we want to be like God. God's righteous and holy. We want to be righteous and holy. Amen. Matthew 5:10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I have a question. How are you persecuted for righteousness if you're not living righteous? You live like the world, you live carnal, you live sinful. Who's going to persecute you for righteousness? No, Jesus expected his followers, those who place a saving faith in him, to live righteous lives. Matthew 5:20. Jesus said it, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Okay, this is a big one here. How does our righteousness exceed those guys that were striving to keep Torah? Well, going back to what I told you, the path to salvation via the gospel, clearly we need Jesus' shed blood and his resurrection, his perfect work, all right, so we can be covered by his perfect righteousness, all right? And we also enter into a covenant with God. Our will meets God's will through faith and repentance, and we're born again, and then we begin to live a righteous life as fruit of the Spirit and the Word of God and the working of God in us. And I'm going to read you a bunch of scriptures on that. So we can surpass the Pharisees' righteousness because of what Christ has done, than God working in us. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's a verb word. I'm not good at English, but I know that's a verb. Seek. We're to seek the kingdom and his righteousness. So we're to be living it out, seeking it, striving for it, obeying. We're going to get to the obedience. It ties right in here. How about Matthew 25:46? And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto eternal life. Go read that in Matthew 25:46. They were doing good works as proof they were righteous. They didn't just sit around and go, I believe in God, so I'm righteous, you know. No, their faith was lived out by their works of righteousness. Hey, go read the book of James. Faith without works, yeah, it's dead. So Jesus tells us righteous lives matter in people that are claiming a saving faith. But again, is it just his righteousness that we're to count on and not to strive for any of our own if we're claiming a saving faith? No. The scriptures clearly tell us what people that are following Christ have a saving faith, what they're going to look like. Let's read on. Acts 10:35. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Do you see that? They're working righteousness. They fear God. They're working righteousness. They're striving to live right before God. Yeah. Doesn't get any clearer than that, does it? How about Romans 6:13? This tells us how we should live. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. I could stop right here. I don't need to go any further. Yield your members not as instruments of unrighteousness, sin, but yield yourselves unto God, and your members unto righteousness unto God. If God's in us, we hunger and thirst for righteousness, like Jesus said. Wow, that is a powerful verse. But we're going to keep going. There's more. We're told to obey unto righteousness. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin to death or of obedience unto righteousness. Hey, that shoots the evangelicals right in the foot. Obedience unto righteousness because of what Christ has done in his work in us. You see how faith and works tie together as fruit that Christ is in us. How about this one? I love this verse. The Spirit itself brings us what? Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. The Spirit is bringing righteousness to us. If we're walking in the Spirit, not the flesh, we're striving to live obedient. This is a work of Christ in us. His perfect righteousness pulling us through, us working with him in covenant. It's a beautiful thing. Now, here's a verse that they twist often. Philippians 3:9. Paul says, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. But they always forget this part, which is of the law. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So they say, see, you don't have to do any righteousness because Paul said he didn't have any. Paul was talking about the working of the Torah law, which we're not under anymore, could never make us righteous. But you know what? If we follow after Christ and his death, burial, resurrection, his perfect righteousness, and we let God do a work in us via the Spirit, we can keep the New Testament ways. We don't have 613 rules anymore that can't be kept. Sacrifices, temple living, Levitical priesthood. No. We can keep the New Testament law as best as we can. We're going to fall. We're going to sin. We repent. He's faithful and just to forgive us, as 1 John says. But we can walk righteous before God. You couldn't walk righteous in the law of Torah. All right? So they'll try to say that Paul is talking about, again, Paul's talking about the law. We can't get there via Torah. We get there via Christ. All right, and I take you to John 15. Go read John 15. This is all the fruit that Christ is in us. Without him, we can do nothing, but clearly we need to produce fruit. There's many verses that tell us, no, they command us to follow and obey unto righteousness. Ready? Let's keep going. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You got a pure heart for the Lord because of the work he's done in you? You're going to follow righteousness, yeah. How about 2 Timothy 3:16? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Hey, if we don't have any righteousness to do, evangelicals, why do we need instruction for righteousness? It's because it's the fruit of really being born of God and he's working in you. Yeah. That's what it is. Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nonetheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereof. Exercising towards righteousness. Amen. How about this one? Fruit of it, so we can grow. All right? 1 Peter 2:24. By his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, for whose stripes ye were healed. That's the fruit. The fruit is because of what Christ has done, we should live unto righteousness. Isn't that awesome? Sounds like something we have to do, doesn't it? Yeah. 1 John 2:29. And if you know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. We're doing righteousness. We're striving to be right before God because his Spirit's in us and done a work in us because of the perfect covering of Christ. This is a beautiful thing. It's a covenant. It's not a one-sided thing. God's never been one-sided. He had a covenant with Adam and Eve. He had a covenant with Abraham. He had a covenant with Noah. He had a covenant with Israel. It's never one-sided. We have a part to play, all right? Doing righteousness. I'm going to leave you with this verse on reminding us that righteous ways matter as the fruit of salvation. 1 Corinthians 15:34. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Paul's talking to the believers in Corinthians. He in Corinth. He says, awake to righteousness. We have a part as fruit that God is working in us. He's telling them to wake up to righteousness. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do here. Remind myself and people and other saints, wake up to righteousness. It's the fruit that God's at work in us. Back to Jesus, Revelation 22:11. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. There's that righteousness that's talked about. Now, I have a question. All you people that have faith in God, maybe you're still part of man-made religion, you're part of the world. Do you want to live in your sin, your flesh, your worldliness, and your false ways? After reading these verses about righteousness, Paul warns us, 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Know ye not that unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Remember Ephesians 5, verse 9? It's the Spirit that brings the righteousness into our lives. Yep, we need the perfect righteousness of Christ, but the Spirit brings that righteousness. And Paul says, some of you were that. They're not that anymore. They're living righteous lives. So I hope you're seeing by these different four different forms of righteousness how God moved through the biblical times, and there was different forms of righteousness that were shown. I want to be clear again to all my haters and all my enemies and detractors. We need Christ's perfect righteousness over us, but without a righteous life of our own, as fruit that he's working in us of a saving faith unto obedience, you will not enter the kingdom of God. The Bible is clear. It's all over the pages of the New Testament. Now, I'm going to hear all kinds of cries, emails, works, works, he teaches works. This is not works. We cannot work our way to heaven because we need perfection. We don't have it. So I teach the perfection of Jesus Christ. We need him. But be careful, all you enemies, if you want to call obeying God as fruit that he's working in you via saving faith, if you want to call that works, then your faith is works. How can you have faith without a, that's a work. You see how it doesn't work? No, it doesn't work at all, because we're not saved by works, but our saving faith will produce works. You can tie me to a tree and burn me. James says it. The rest of the Bible says it. We will live righteous and holy and obey God because of the work he's done in us. We won't live worldly, sinful, wicked, false, man-made religion. No, the Spirit of God will teach us all truth and wants better for us. We'll be living right before God. It's the fruit that we're born of him via saving faith. And if you don't care about sin, if you don't hate sin, I should say, if you don't hate sin and you don't want all sin out of your life, I really question if you're even born of God. You might have faith, but I don't think you've ever repented and been born again. So you really need to test yourself. Now, how about Jesus' return? One of my favorite verses, 2 Thessalonians 1. You know what it says? It says, he's coming to destroy all those that don't obey the gospel at his coming. That's part of righteousness and obedience. That's fruit of a saving faith. Amen? It's all over Scripture. Obeying to righteousness as fruit of salvation matters. Let me take you to Romans 2, 5 through 8. This one's key. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up for thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, here it comes, to them who by patient countenance in doing well seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath. Paul says it right there. If you're in Christ, you want righteousness and obedience. If you're not, God's wrath is coming for you. Test yourself. You may not be born again at all. Righteous ways taught right there. Righteous ways are being taught all through all these scriptures I'm sharing with you. Now, for those that will say I'm wrong, Brother Jim, you're wrong. I challenge you. Go to the Bible. There's not one true person, one person that had a true saving faith in the Bible that ever kept and hung on to willful sin throughout his whole life and did not strive against it, did not speak against sin, did not repent. There's not one person that said, oh, just everything Jesus did, and, you know, I'm wicked, I sin a lot. Yeah, Paul in Romans 7 said that he battled with sin, but you know what? Paul battled sin. In Romans 6, he said, stop sinning. He was battling his sin. He didn't give in to it. And Paul won the battle, obviously. They repented. They left their sin. So if you can email me one person that lived in the Bible like an evangelical today that says they can keep sinning, I'd love to see that person. I can't find them. So the question I would ask you, anybody listening, who's not a holy ecclesia, called out, set apart saint, come out of the world, come out of man-made religion, come out of your pride, your vanity, living and obeying the New Testament scriptures, how are you doing at this? Are you living in all righteousness because of what God has done in you? Not raising your hand, not going to church, not saying a prayer. You placing your faith in Christ and repentance, has he given you a new heart and a new mind where you want righteousness? Jesus said it, seek after righteousness. Did Jesus do that in you? Or are you just one of these that believe you're going to coast to heaven no matter how much sin you keep? Jesus did it all. I can't do anything good. If that's you, I love you. You need to repent. You need to turn. You're in great danger. You're walking in willful sin. Hebrews 10:26 says there's no sacrifice for that. You're following an accursed gospel made of man, and it will not save you. You know what I say to you? Repent and obey the gospel. And I'm going to close with this. 1 Peter 4:17-19, Peter says it well. For the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God, and if it begin first at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God committeth the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Hey, Peter says it there. If the righteous barely be saved and they're keeping themselves doing well, what's going to come of all you that think I don't have to live a righteous life and I can sin on and on? Jesus did it all. No, repent obey the gospel, turn, seek after righteousness, seek after Christ, while he may yet be found. Let him do a work in you. Come out of the world, come out of your flesh, come out of your man-made religion. And Brother Jim's here to help you. Check out don'tperish.com, go to the teaching blog, go to the sister's blog. I'm pouring out every day to help you in the faith, because we love our neighbor and we love God. Hey, we got to get down the gospel road. Till next time, strive for righteousness because of what Christ has done in you. Let me know how I can help you in the faith. May God be praised.